Hare Krishna. Right now, we don't have any internet, so I can't actually see the questions. Therefore, I'll just give a little update on Navaraja Mahima and talk about the upcoming Ekadasi, Indira Ekadasi, yes. Every morning, Kesha Bharti Maharaj, Achyuta Prabhu, and myself, from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're reading over the edited works together, making final changes, corrections, alterations, as needs be. It's a really time-consuming work. One is the reading itself. But when there have to be other endnotes added, things to be clarified, sometimes things rewritten, then that gives me extra work in the evening, and it's quite engaging. It would be quite engaging if I didn't have anything else to do. But on top of my correspondence, GBC duties, Hungarian things are. Local emergency and the church law change and so on. It's verging on OD. But anyway, we're managing to keep pace. We've done about 1,300 pages up to now in the first 28 days of our 100-day marathon. It's meant to end of November. And asking for the Vaishnava's blessings to be able to keep going. Indira Ekadasi. The Padma Purana tells a story of this Ekadasi about a pious king, Indrasingh, who was a great Vaishnava and who was himself a practitioner, chanting the Lord's holy name, engaging in worshipping the deity. He engaged the citizens in same activities like that. And, of course, as a result, his kingdom prospered. Everyone was happy. His subjects were happy. The Brahmins were happy. His ministers were happy. The cows were happy. And so on. And sort of a formula that sounds really idealistic with the contrast that we live in our modern society. Anyhow, one day this great king was visited by Narada Muni, of course, and he was received and greeted on the throne and given the fitting reception. And then Narada Muni started to recount to King Indrasingh that, you know, I was just, as I was coming here, I came by Yamaraja's abode, Yamapuri. And when I was there, I saw your father, and who was suffering. I was very, very surprised and taken back, because like you, he was also such a pious king, and I asked him, what are you doing here? And he replied that once I neglected to observe Indira Ekadasi, it was a result of that sin. I'm having to now suffer here, and I can't get the benefit of my spiritual practices, my spiritual perfections. So Narada Muni then told Maharaj Indrasingh, who was very shocked to hear of his father's plight. He said, but your father has sent a message for me. He said, your father has asked that you observe Indira Ekadasi on his behalf and give him the benefit of that. That way he will be liberated from his condition. So when the Indira Ekadasi was approaching, then, following Narada Muni's advice, then Maharaj Indrasingh actually followed Ekadasi. And the way he followed Ekadasi was that the day before Dashami, he dressed in simple clothes. He only ate once, and at night he just slept on the ground, not on a bed, not in any opulent way, and all day long he worshipped the Lord. This was his preparation for observance of Ekadasi. And then when Ekadasi did arrive, then immediately upon rising he took his vow, Sankalpa. A person usually takes a vow on the day of a particular observance. It strengthens, gives one the strength and determination in order to continue following. So he took a vow of not to eat and not to drink, so he was dry fasting. And then he glorified the Lord all day, engaged his court and courtiers in the same activity. He worshipped the Shalagram Shila, offered Pinda to his ancestors, as is the common case, and that Pinda, he then, the prasadam, the remnants of that food he offered to the cows, he fed the cows. He pleased the Brahmins by giving them all kinds of gifts. And he stayed up all night long in the presence of the deity, chanting and hearing. And the next day, after breaking Ekadasi, he fed the Brahmins a sumptuous feast, again distributed charity and wealth, and then finally himself ate. The result of having performed that observance was that Maharaj Indrasen's father was freed from his past offense, elevated from Yamaraja's kingdom, and was taken back home, back to Godhead, where he attained perfection. King Indrasen was very happy to hear of this, and he continued in the same way as a pious king throughout his life. And at the time when he left this world, he also went back home, back to Godhead. Such is the power of observing Ekadasi, and the importance of observing Ekadasi, which is an observance that's very, very dear to the Lord. It's an observance that all Vaishnavas should strictly follow. And when we consider that for one reason or another, sometimes we don't so strictly follow Ekadasi, then at least we should take this story to heart and remember that when Bhima Nirjala Ekadasi comes around, that at least on that one day, we should really stick to a vow, a strict observance, no eating, no drinking, in order to ensure that at least the benefits of our other Ekadasis are protected. One thing that was instructive for me in this pastime, and it's a topic that we discussed previously, was that was the subject of one devotee giving the benefit of his devotional activities to another. It's obvious from this pastime that that's what happened with Maharaj Indrasen and his father. He gave the benefit of his devotional activities to his father. Of course, Maharaj Indrasen also wasn't an ordinary person. We always come across this caveat, this qualifier, that he wasn't an ordinary person, and can any sadhaka and any bhakta perform that. But in any case, you can see that advanced devotees can give the benefit of their spiritual activities to someone else by their own will. And of course, the other thing to be learned is how to actually even prepare for Ekadasi. That Ekadasi is something, how he, on the Dashami, how the king actually prepared his consciousness and prepared his mind to properly follow Ekadasi. Of course, and Srila Prabhupada also sympathized that we don't have time simply to take 3 days off every 2 weeks in order to follow Ekadasi all throughout our lives. But none is the same. The essence of following Ekadasi, and that is taking some time to remember Krishna and using Ekadasi as an opportunity to be absorbed in Krishna. That we should take. What's the principle there? The people are, by and large, so engaged in all kinds of material duties that they don't have time for devotional service. They don't have time to serve Krishna. They don't have time to think about him. So at least putting aside dry fasting on every Ekadasi or staying up all night, but at least we should put that much time aside that on Ekadasi we have the opportunity to either do some extra preaching, either do some extra kirtan, either chant extra rounds. These are the things that will actually please Ekadasi Devi and please Krishna, and also ensure our elevation back home, back to Godhead, which is guaranteed in any case if we really follow these simple things that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and that included observance of Ekadasi, and Prabhupada was very particular about that, that the devotees do that. And I will just conclude with a reminder, which I've mentioned before in the concept of breaking Ekadasi, is that breaking Ekadasi should not be done just by sitting down and eating breakfast on the Dwadasi, but rather devotees should offer prayers to the Lord and with Jagannath Mahaprasadam break their Ekadasi, and then thereafter they can eat. But it shouldn't be that after putting so much energy into worshipping properly, worshipping the Lord, then one just sits down and thinks that the worship is completed by being absorbed in, which what we tend to do when we're having our breakfast or our meal is satisfying our senses. But rather we should finish it off with a proper prayers and in a properly religious way, if I can use that word. Hare Krishna.